I was sharing with my wife this morning, and David and Brenna, that I had a nightmare last night. If you would have been here, you probably would have been hearing me screaming. I rarely ever get nightmares, but my nightmare was that just before the service, I lost my sermon notes. In my nightmare, I'm running all over the church trying to find my sermon notes. I mean, it was crazy. I was looking everywhere. I couldn't find it, and, you know, the panic starts setting in, and I tell you, I finally found them, and then I went to the bathroom to make myself, you know, ready for the service, and I saw my hair being all poofed out. So I'm working my hair down, trying to get it down to its normal place. I finally get to the service. As I walk there, I realize someone was already preaching. And I'm going, what? And it turned out to be someone off the street came up to the pulpit and started to preach. Now the elders was trying to remove that person and get me up to the sermon, to preach. So, but I want you to know that I have my notes. I haven't had a nightmare like that in ever. So crazy. So crazy. Well, we are in the process of immersing ourselves into Lent, and I'm going to explain to you why that's so important as Christians. And this is a little story that was given to us by Reverend Marie Gosseau, helping to understand a little bit about Lent and the importance of Lent. And this is the story. He comes to church once a year, always on Easter. I'm glad to have this local rancher join us in worship, and I shook his hand heartily as he left the church. Great to worship with you today, I said. Really? He responded. Sure. It's always good to have you with us on Easter, I said. He scratched his head. Well, maybe I'll come more often if you preach about something different. So Easter and Lent is always about the same thing. And we find ourselves going back to that Passion Week. The title of the sermon series is called Walk to Jerusalem, and it's a walk, it's a journey, and the sermon series is helping us to put ourselves back at that time in which Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, you need to know that as you look at Scripture, a lot of times it's hard to time places what Jesus did, chronologically, you know, but one thing that all scholars do believe is that you can put on a stopwatch the time that Jesus went into Palm Sunday to the very day that he was given his life to Christ and rose on the grave. It's timed. Everything is timed perfectly on that week. It is a very important week for us to be able to focus on it. You need to know that it's the greatest week that this world has ever experienced. It's the greatest week that we have ever experienced, but also the world. And we need to greatly appreciate it. Sometimes we take for granted our faith and lives and the stories that has happened in our lives. But God, through His Holy Spirit, reminds us how important it is to focus on that Passion Week to prepare us for Easter. Because we truly want to come into Easter celebrating. Because this is the day. This is the day that gave us this wonderful relationship with our Father in heaven, took our sins away, rose from the dead for us to have eternal life, but also immerse us into the kingdom of God. And we need to be very, very thankful. But we're going to start looking at the Passion Week a little earlier, because if Jesus did not fulfill and pass the test that God gave him way back at the start of his ministry, the Passion Week would have been a failure. Jesus needed to be tested, needed to be very much tested. And so let's go ahead and start with this. Now, you need to know, we remember this, that the Garden of Eden was the place in where we should have lived. That was God's gift to us, a place with no evil, beauty, no sin. It was a place in which we should live and live forever. Well, that was taken away from us. And so Jesus Christ is sort of reliving that time in which Adam and Eve was being tempted, and they failed. Now, Jesus was being tempted in the same way. But the crazy thing, that Adam and Eve started in a beautiful garden, but Jesus was tempted in a desert. Again, the desert is a beautiful symbolic reminder of what sin has done to this world. It has completely taken out the beauty and the life in it, and the desert becomes that representation. So let's listen to the story once again. Jesus, full of Spirit, very important to know that we are full of Spirit.
God has given us the Holy Spirit. He has baptized with the Holy Spirit. We live this life with the Spirit. Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Again, God led Jesus into the desert. It was very important, and God had a reason. He's sovereign, and there's a reason. For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. This is the first time the word devil is ever used in the New Testament. The devil is a term in the Greek that is very, very clear, a deceiver, a false accuser, making it very clear the work of the devil. Very important to know. We think that evil is something that is huge and large with fangs and teeth and, you know, huge claws, but evil is this. It's a lie. It's a lie that can alter your course in life. To have you believe in something that will ruin your life or alter it in a way that could bring destruction to your life as well as others. That's why the truth is so important. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. He fasted for 40 days. Why did God bring Jesus into the desert to fast for 40 days? Because God wanted to make Jesus so weak, so absolutely weak, that when he was tempted, he had no strength to fight this temptation aside from God's word. So has anybody ever been on a fast 4 days or more? Okay, we have a couple. Now, I think just to share with you that I've been on a fast for 4 days, and it was terrible, okay? It's a person who loves food is terrible. I remember the first day. It's just kind of help you understand what goes through the body when you're fasting and your heart and mind. The first day, you're prepared for it. You got the energy. You go, yeah, I can do this. You miss breakfast, you miss lunch, you miss dinner. You know, and towards the end of the night, you're sitting there, you get a little hungry, get a little weak, but you know what? You got evening. You get to go to sleep. You don't have to worry about it. Next day when you wake up and immediately your senses are so alive. Yeah, you could smell anything that has some type of food in it. So you resist breakfast, and all you're doing is drinking water. Now, water becomes a very important part of your fasting because you want something to be in your stomach to give that full feeling, okay? And also, you don't want to dehydrate. So you're drinking water all day because your stomach feels empty. It tightens up, but that water fills it and fills it. Suddenly, the second day, it gets worse. You start smelling things. You become so sensitive. You want to eat so badly. Your body is roaring, is yelling out, fuel. You start to feel weak. Again, your sensations for smell is amazing. And then the third day is awful. Because everything you see from Burger King stores, restaurants, you see a commercial. Everything points to food, and you're just locked in. And your mouth starts to, it craves to eat food. You want it so badly. You start thinking about the different ways food tastes and smells, okay? And by the fourth day, it's also extreme. Why did I do this? Why would any sane person do this? Because I felt there was a time in my life that I need to be in a position where I'm focusing all my attention on God's word and his presence, because there was a time in my life I needed to do that. But it is not fun and it's terrible. Jesus, for 40 days, is at the point where he lost weight, he's hungry, he's malnourished. This is not a good thing. But God put Jesus in this position to be so, so weak that he would not rely on his own strength, especially when it comes to temptation. We need strength to resist temptations. We do. But God was showing us that Jesus was using God's word. God's word, God's presence to fight the temptations, because it was so important for the journey that he was on. Because Satan was doing everything he can to destroy this journey at the very beginning. But he was not going to quit. For 3.5 years, especially in that time of the Passion Week, when he walked in, when he rode on the donkey, and when he went into Jerusalem for that 1 week, that very important week, Jesus was doing everything he could to tempt Jesus to fall away, to give up his mission. Maundy Thursday, the arrest, the Garden of Gethsemane, being in front of the Sanhedrin and all those people that was beating him up, being stood in front of all the people and seeing accusations. I mean, there's so many things that was happening in that week that Jesus could have easily said, no, I don't want to do this, it's too much. But because of this test, it showed us that Jesus was willing to do this and he was ready for this journey. Now, the unique thing about this word, temptation and test, in the Greek, it's the same word. It's the same Greek word. It's like the word love. You and I sit back, and we look at the word love, and it has different meanings. Yeah, love, phile, love, agape. Here, this word means test or temptation, but they're two totally different dynamics. Okay? And one temptation is to destroy you. It's to destroy you, and Satan wants you to fall. And testing, temptation is to fall into your scene, to sin. And what sin does eventually and will lead to is your death, spiritual death. But a test is something different. A test is to be able to expose what's weak in us, those that are lacking. And it exposes that, it helps us to understand that we have to mature more. We test people all the time. We're asking them, are they ready to be able to go to the next step? Are they mature enough to drive the car? Are they mature enough to graduate and become a SEALs? There's so many reasons and ways we test. It's a good thing. Temptation is to destroy you. And so James made it very clear. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you find trials or tests of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith, which God does every day, produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You want a 16-year-old passing his driving test with flying colors. You don't want to stick him in a car when he's not ready for it. The same way God says, I'm maturing you, I'm helping you, I'm providing these tests so that you could depend on me so you can grow. And then he says this, a couple verses down, let no one say he is tempted. I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So you got the same word in test, the same word in temptation. And God says, I do not tempt. I don't bring you to ruin. I give you tests. Satan takes his opportunities to destroy you. And that's where the words differ. That's how they change themselves. And God, again, allows for temptation in your life. But he does not do it. But God says, this is an opportunity for you to let it, for you to depend and turn to my word. Why is this so important? Hebrews 4:14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And Jesus was tempted. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Now, you got to remember, that is a huge temptation. You're hungry. You want to eat. You're not sitting back going, I can handle this. No, you want to eat that bread. You want to get the food. But Jesus, again, went to God's word. He passed the test. He passed that. And what this is, the first temptation is misusing God's power. Jesus Christ was going to have power from God. Power to do amazing things. Power to do things that could self-serve himself or he can use it in a way to serve others. He was going to be tempted to use that power in so many different ways. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to use God's word and I'm going to follow and use his power to glorify God. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. It's about receiving glory. Jesus Christ was tempted to receive glory and fame. We know when a person wants to be famous and feeds off of that, he's feeding off the glory that comes to him. It is something that people love to do. It is something that people want to be in position of, to receive this type of glory and fame. It is a hard thing to resist. We want to sit back and take credit. Look at me. I have a degree. I can jump and, you know, shoot basketball. I can do all this. Look at me. You know, that glory that's given to us, we find ourselves going, yeah, this feels good. And sometimes it becomes this need that we continue to look for ways for people to glorify ourselves. A person who's humble is this, a person who recognizes everything he does, everything he has, does not belong to him. It's not given to him, and he sits back and goes, or she goes, nah, this is from God. Whatever I do is from God. That's humility. But we truly love this feeling of glory. And we truly love the feeling of having power. And we'll do a lot of things to do that. And I'm pretty sure all of us here can sit back and nod our heads and say, yeah, I know what it's like to have power. It feels good to control others. It feels good to control situations around us. Oh, I know what it's like to have glory. Look at all the great things I've done. Whatever it is, I like people giving me attention because it feels good. There's nothing wrong in receiving that, but there's something where you start to feed on it. It becomes a way to nurture your self-esteem. Then the third one. The devil led him to Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, again, Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, given him this understanding, he has authority. He is from God. He can do this. Throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, then will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You remember, he left him, and that last phrase is really important. The devil was not going to give up on Jesus. He was not, and he was looking for any opportunity through the journey that he was on, especially at the time of the Passion Week, to tempt him again. Some people have a struggle about what this really means, this type of temptation. I see it clearly in my eyes and my heart. The third temptation is using God's name and word in vain. And we so easily can do that. Preachers and teachers and Christians walk around saying, well, God said to do this. God told me this. God, this is what God's about. He's actually this way. You know, and we use God's name in a way. Why is that so powerful temptation? Because we can manipulate people by using God's name and his word in vain. And that happens throughout history. So, what is today's lesson? And I'm going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. So normally when you preach a sermon, you look at the context, and you're looking for the primary theme, the very theme that God wants you to hear and to understand and to connect. Well, the beautiful thing about Scripture, there are also secondary themes, themes that you can use off to the side. Good, preachable. But sometimes we focus on the secondary theme, and we overlook the primary theme. So from this passage and this lesson, a lot of times we focus on the secondary theme. And the secondary theme is basically like this. Our personal journey, the Holy Spirit empowers us to pass tests and to resist temptations. We take this story and we make it about us, about how we should resist temptation and understanding tests. We need to know that. We need to know we're tempted. We know what our weaknesses are. We know what's in our heart. And we know that Satan's out there to destroy us. Every temptation, we have to remind ourselves, is for death, to destroy us. But a test, when we find ourselves in the midst of a test, we can sit back and go, God, wow, you are maturing me. And I want to use this opportunity to depend on you and on your word so I can mature and be lacking nothing. That's a secondary thing. You know what? The primary theme is what Jesus Christ did for us. That's the primary theme. There is an epic movie that my family loves to watch every year. We watch it every year because something of that movie, we start into that movie, the series of movies, and we sit there and we watch it every year. There's something about that movie. It's epic. There are themes. There are so amazing, beautiful stories within a story. It's a story that we get so caught up in. It's something that moves our heart because it's such a grand story. And we do it because we love it so much. And it's a reminder of honor and love and friendship and sacrifice. Can anybody name the movie that I love so much? The Lord of the Rings. Every year we get together, we watch it. Because it does something to us in our soul, in our mind, in our hearts. Like every good book that we pick up every year, every particular movie, because it does something to us. And Lent is about watching this amazing, epic journey. The story that has shaped the world. And Lent gives us an opportunity to focus on what is important, and that is the work of Jesus Christ. And it builds us up. And God wants us to focus on those themes and all that story to know that He has done this for us and wrap ourselves into it because Easter is based on all those stories. Many times, we don't. Many times, we sit back and here comes Lent again. Here comes Easter again. Let's pull out the eggs. And we miss the story. We don't take time to look at it and study it and soak it in. And all the different ways that God is showing us ways to live our life in the midst of that grand story. Lent is about God calling us back into that story. To focus on that story. To focus on the Passion Week. To allow it to fill your soul. Allow it to move you with great feeling. Allow it to build your mind and your faith. It's about Jesus resisting three crazy temptations that this world has failed and failed and failed. The temptation of having power. Power. I want power. I want to control. And we think, well, yeah, we have power in our life. We want to control things around us. And we get very anxious when it does happen, and we get very angry when it doesn't happen. God says, pull back. The idea of seeking fame and glory, oh, it feels good to be fed on that. Well, Pastor Peter, you did a great sermon, the best one you've ever done. Normally, I said, wow, okay, thank you. I'm great. Man, I'm going to get myself on video right now. I know I'm being silly, but we can take all those situations and just feed our self-worth. And God says, no. And using God's name. Oh, God. And now one thing that I try to tell all my young preachers and my associate pastors, that when you stand in this pulpit, if you ever use God's name in vain in this pulpit, you will hear it from me because I'm protecting you and your credibility. Now, I see something that's wrong. You can't defend it with Scripture. Then I'm going to be on your neck and breathing. I'm going to help you to understand that we can't do this. We have to guard ourselves from doing that. As well as Christians, we have to guard ourselves when we're around other people and around other Christians and non-Christians and using God's name and word in a way that does not represent Him. That is a temptation we can do. So, learning that, it's about the desert, it's about what Jesus Christ went through and what He did for us. We want to sit back, just like Lord of the Rings, sit back, pop in that DVD or get it from Prime, Amazon, or whatever. But sit back and immerse yourself into it. Promise yourself, promise God that this Lent, that you'll focus on the Passion Week. Take the scriptures. Look at that week. Read. Soak it in. See if God's showing you something very special about yourself and about that week. Listen to the word. Let it soak into you. Because if we don't, we don't get the story and we miss Easter. And God does not want us to miss that. Because he loves us so dearly. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you again for the story. It is your story. It is a story that you want us to immerse our hearts, our minds, our soul into it, because it is the very story that brought us to you. So give us strength. Give us strength to focus and meditate and relive that story in our hearts and our minds. We pray this in your Son's name.